Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you this evening?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Darling. I love the darling. Everything's good in your world?
Yes. No complaints just yet. I'm sure I can find something, but let's not even bother.
I know. It's just almost the end of your work week, so I think you should just hang in there and, you know, see it till Saturday.
Well, I actually had a very, very short week, so I can't even complain too badly because I was actually out sick where I work from home on Monday and Tuesday because
did you have a cold?
All of a sudden on Sunday night, I got pink eye. I was fighting off a cold.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden, both of my eyes started, like, out of the blue. I was laying on the couch with my wife. We were watching a movie. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. She's like, stop rubbing your eyes. I thought it was from cleaning all day. I had contacts in. You know, we were dusting.
Right.
And we were doing, you know, some manual labor. We were fixing up our spare room. And I was like, you know what? Let me just get my contacts out. And I looked at my eyes, and I was like, oh, my God. And then, of course, yeah, I had to go get antibiotics. So, and I told my job, hey, listen, might have pink eye. Going to run to the doctor. See you in a little bit. And my HR girl was like, that is contagious. You can stay home until your doctor says you're not contagious anymore.
Oh, boy. But you probably
did get conjunctivitis.
From cleaning, you might have gotten dust in it. You might have gotten it.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? 2 days with the drops, and I was okay. I'm still going to finish my drops because I'm supposed to for the next 5 days. But luckily, I got to work in my pajamas for 2 days, you know, and I got a couple of hours off to go to the doctor and get my script. But, yeah, so I was very, very fortunate this week that I didn't have to be in work all week. I got to be in my pajamas on my couch working for 2 days.
Hey, that's always good. I'll tell you, what I love is when – days when I only have phone readings or maybe after I do some in person, then I have the rest of the phone, I could be in my pajamas, do the readings in my pajamas. It always feels really good, doesn't it? Just to work in your pajamas.
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding me? I love it. You know, sometimes it's great. And then what was funny, though, is that I was in my pajamas while I worked all day. And I worked a little bit later because I, you know, obviously when you work from home, it is a little bit different. So I had no choice but to work a little bit later, really, to get everything done. So I did just about, you know, everything that I could. So I figure I knocked off at about 6 o'clock. And then I got up and I took a shower and I just put on new pajamas.
Ha ha! Isn't that nice? That's always really nice.
Oh, yeah,
I'm telling you.
Please, I wasn't going to wake up and stay in the same pajamas and go to bed. Of course not. I worked in those pajamas.
So we put on new, fresh, nice ones.
I worked in those jammies. That means I need new jammies.
And I'm sure the kind of clients have, they wouldn't care if they came to my house and I was in my pajamas. But I try, even though I work from the home, to look professional. You know, I try my hardest.
You have to see clients.
You know,
all I had to do is have a nice shirt on, because like if I had to do like a video call or something, all I needed was a decent shirt on, which I did. It was a plain shirt, so it was good.
Right, and it's funny because one of my clients, I hadn't met her yet today, and she said, oh, you look so beautiful and professional. I said, well, I try my look from the home, but I did say to her, I would prefer to be in my pajamas, you know. So I guess it's just a pajama day, you know. And it's funny because TJ will always buy me the best pajamas. I have like at least 15 really nice pairs, so, you know.
That's awesome.
It's my favorite thing, you know. And, you know, my day is always a little bit hectic because in between doing readings, because I am, you know, a dating expert, I will get, like, just before I went on air from Bravo TV, could you please just answer a question for me? So, like, oh, okay. And then I'm almost running late to do the show, and I'm like, oh, life is a little hectic, you know? Some days life is a little hectic. Just a little hectic. You know what I mean? But somehow I go, I don't know, I'm getting better at just answering off the top of my head or writing something fast, you know, which was never my forte. I used to have to think everything 1,000 times, and I'm like, well, I have about 6 minutes to answer their question, so do it fast, you know? So It was about how we should act on if a blind date doesn't go the way we want it to go. So, you know, so I thought, but my answer is always just be kind, you know? Kindness always works, doesn't it? Kindness and, temper your honesty with a little kindness, and that's what I believe. And, you know, the dating world, and it's interesting because, you know, Sean has been helping with me with my Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships page because I oftentimes don't have time to put stuff on it. And she posted an article about, you know, that people are being rude in dating. And it's really something people have to stop being so rude. Don't you think in America people have gotten really rude?
People are out of control in America these days. They are absolutely out of control. You know what it is? It's not even just the overall sense of rude. I think that people in today's day and age, because we are so electronic, because we do not get on the phone anymore, we send a text, because we constantly converse in email and social media, that when you converse without looking at somebody in the face, you have a tendency to be a little bit more brutal. You have a tendency to be a little too honest, and you have a tendency to not pick up on anybody else's feelings because you're not staring at anybody else in the face. You're looking at a screen or you know, you're looking at your phone, you know, or that's what you're used to. And because you don't have that sense of interaction, because you cannot see the feeling in somebody's eyes as you are having a conversation, because you can't really see what they're going through when they speak to you or anything like that, you can be extremely abrasive and not even know it. You know, in that sense, we're getting numbed. And then when you do get in front of somebody, you think it's okay to speak that way.
And it's also because we text mostly, and you're texting quickly, and you're forgetting. Yeah, because it's hard to type, so you almost don't put polite words in. You know what I mean? It's just answering yes, no, fast, abrupt.
Polite words? You barely speak English in a text message.
I'll look at, you know, some of my texts or my emails, and I'm like, oh, that probably sounded rude, and I didn't mean it to sound rude. I was just, like, doing it fast, answering it fast. So I go, that probably could have been interpreted as rude, you know, and
rude is their normal, though.
I'll be like shocked. I'm like, ooh, I got to, you know, work on that a little bit. But I think, you know, in general, it's always nice to be kind. I think it's, you know, it's the highest evolution of a human being to be kind. So I can't state it enough. Don't mistake my kindness for weakness, because you really don't want to go in an arena with me. But it's, you know, always kindness. Always choose kindness. And, you know, you can't go wrong with it. And, you know, a friend of mine, we're doing a little documentary about psychics, and so we went to the Sunbet Mall, the Smith Haven Mall, to just ask people random questions. And, you know, some people were really rude to us, but, you know. Other people, you know, were very nice. Some didn't believe in psychics, but I could just be, oh, that's okay. I don't care if you ever, you know, we want to hear if you believe, don't believe, or whatever. And I got some people really engaged in wonderful conversations just by being kind and, you know, and I said, I'm not the kind of person, you have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. You can disagree with me. Do it kindness, sense of humor, and with facts. Back it with facts, and you've got me, you know, and I'll listen. So, you know, people don't have to always agree with us, just, you know, so we can have a conversation. And we don't have to agree. We can be kind. So, you know, don't you think that this will be our little mantra for this week? Let's all just try to be a little kinder to each other. You know, it won't kill you, will it?
And you know what? It's not weak to just simply agree to disagree. And that's it. There's nothing weak about that. There's nothing weak about saying, well, this is my opinion, and I understand you have a differing opinion. Let's just chat about something else now. Not everything needs to escalate into an argument. Not everybody needs to be converted or spoken to, you know, spoken to about, or to try to change anybody's opinion. Not everything has got to be that adversarial. Okay. Not anything has to be, you know, a debate. Not everything has to be a debate. I'm sorry. You know, we can just say, okay, we clearly differ on this, and let's talk about something that we have in common instead of something that clearly we don't see eye to eye on. And call it that.
Exactly. And I think we're approaching the holidays now, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and everybody's under strain because family members are very loaded in their conversations. You can't ask a question that has to do with today without getting a grenade thrown in your lap from 40 years ago. So it's hard mm-hmm. when you're dealing with family members because it's just loaded conversations. So that's where the kindness really, you know, can, and a sense of humor can really carry you through the holidays so that you can actually enjoy your family members instead of feeling like it was a war zone. So I think stress between now and through the whole holiday season. It's always just, you know, be kind, laugh a little.
You know
with
what
certain
pisses
people.
Me off, though? Pisses me off that we're talking about the holiday season on November 9th. It's not mm-hmm. even Thanksgiving, and we're already escorting in the holidays.
Uh-huh. Well, it's going to be...
Let me enjoy fall a little bit, people.
I know. I remember somebody posted something on Facebook the other day, and it was had the fairy godmother from Cinderella saying "bibbidi bobbidi boo" at the strike of 12. It was on Halloween. We can now start celebrating Christmas. We can have Christmas carols. Like this happens Halloween, and we went to Christmas. So we will have a mantra of kindness. That's what we always strive for. And you know, I think that's probably why I have so many clients, by the way, and I have thousands of them. Is because I try to always be kind to them, even if I'm giving hard facts, and you know more than anybody, I deliver those hard facts. But I try to do it with some kindness, and people hear the messages, and, you know, they just like to come here and have somebody, you know, not judge them and be kind to them and give them maybe some facts and information to help them. So we can tell people things they don't want to hear, and they won't get mad at us if we just say it right and kind. So keep that in mind. That's what I strive for. And believe me, in my younger years, I was not a diplomatic person or very kind. So we can learn, can't we? We can learn.
Yeah. We could all learn.
We could learn. So we do have a lot of calls tonight. I know we have Jane is the first caller, 7220, and she would like to speak to us. So we're going to pick her up and see what she has to say.
And then while you're talking to Jane, I will jump into the chat room.
Okay, and remember, if you want to speak to us, you have to press 1.
The number 1, please.
That's it.
Thanks.
Very simple. Okay, so let's see.
Let's get Jane on the air here.
Okay.
Hello, Jane.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Jane. Speaking of kind people, Jane is a very kind person.
Not today.
Okay, it's okay. Maybe that's why I needed to say be kind today, but okay. Now, did you have a rough day? Because, you know, when you email me and you say, I think I maybe need to talk on the, you know, to you today, I always know it's been a rough day for you. So maybe fill us in a little bit, and I hope I can help you because I love to help you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I know. I'm going to be getting ready for a reading soon. You know, I'll deal with that with you on our own time to set up a private. But in the meantime, it's more like an existential thing, and it's really interesting how. What?
Existential. I love it.
Yeah, it's just you know all the stuff I've been, the challenges I've been through over the last many years. But it's so funny. I just, if you don't mind me bringing this up, it was so funny that you're mentioning rudeness.
Right.
I live in an area where, and it's part of my question, where you get routinely bumped or even almost run over by motorized shopping carts in the supermarket, if you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. And then the people that do that to you get mad at you because you were in their way. So that's mm-hmm. the kind of energy that I'm living in. And,
well, first of all, you're living in where people are older and the latest studies was the biggest bullies are women 65 and over. Now, you wouldn't think that, but that's the latest studies. They bully waiters. They bully the people in the store. They bully everybody. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's it is. It's just a, it isn't like an icky kind of feeling, but also the people that, well, for example, today I narrowly missed having my car smashed. I thought to myself, I have to go to Publix and buy chicken. And when I came back, right in front of my spot was a car crash.
Wow.
And I was working, you know, I work at home, speaking of pajamas. I have to not, I work in my yoga clothes, which is a bad habit. I'm going to start getting dressed.
Well, we like that. It's better than my pajamas.
Yeah, someone actually advised me, when you work at home, make sure you put your makeup on, make sure you dress professionally, because it's just so much better for your head, and I think it's true.
No, I agree. So, I mean, I try very much to maintain professionalism, even, I mean, you know, make sure I have my shoes on and everything, you know, even though I like to be barefoot, you know.
Right, well, I'm in my socks and yoga pants right now, and I'm have to get back to work when we get done. But the reason I thought it'd be okay to call, it's more like a feeling of I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I just maybe thought I could get a general.
Well, you're not supposed to be in terms of geographics or in terms of career, love, life, you know.
Well, I think the career is what I need right now. I think it's it's a lot, but it's a lot of work, and it's not extremely lucrative, as you know. So I think that part is okay, knock wood.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, it's a feeling, and it's been pervasive, and that's why I called today. I just really felt crappy this morning, and it's more like that feeling of I'm homesick, but I don't know where. It's homesick for what?
No, that's interesting that you said it that way, because it's sort of a little bit, we get these spiritual crises periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the crisis is we've tried to do everything right, and yet we're not happy. Like, something is not right. And, you know, it happens, and it's at those moments God's kind of asking us to choose again. And I think maybe you're homesick. When we're homesick or we're lonely or whatever, you know, you seem to have, you know, moved away from friends. You don't have a lot of close friends near you now, and you don't have love. Do you think you're just maybe lonely a little bit?
It's part of it. It's probably part of it, but it's also it's the energy that's surrounding me. I lived in some really crappy places, as you know, and I escaped them to come here, and it's much better. Realistically, it is much better where I am. I guess I'm going to stay a little while until I decide what to do, but something's wrong. And it could be that, but I also, something happened time-wise where, you know, the few people that ask me out, and you know, it's been a long time since then, I'm not interested in them. They're too old. They're my age.
Because you're young for your age. I get that.
I get it.
It's like, I don't know. Sometimes I look at people who are my age, because I'm going to be 65, and I'll look at them and say, they could be my grandmother. I act like they could be my grandmother, and it's kind of frightening, you know? You know what I mean? So, I think you are just a little bit lonely. And the holidays are coming, even though we've been, you know, it kind of makes people kind of a little bit sad holiday times. You know, they start wondering.
That's always been the way I am.
Right? No, I mean, it's nostalgic. It happens a lot to divorced people, by the way. They start getting, they homesick for, like, their marriage, like, you know, or, like, maybe if I was still married, or if we were married and we'd be the kids. Yeah. Like, people start glorifying, like, the past, or thinking it might have been better. So what I'm seeing mostly in your cards is loneliness. Also, when you said the word existential, I think it's an important word, because existentialism dealt a lot with alienation. You know, what Nicole and I were talking about before with the radio show, it's like, it's a rude world. It's a disconnected, like, we're more connected than ever because of electronics, but people are, like, less meaningfully connected many times. So there is a feeling of alienation in people. They're kind of feeling like, you know, lonely sad. I mean, are you thinking maybe this year, now that you're a little bit settled where you're going and your career is a little bit settled, maybe you do have time to get out there and maybe take a yoga class, meet some new people, get some friends?
Yeah, I Yeah, I did take one, but it wasn't that great. But and I just realized after I set this time with you this
mm-hmm.
afternoon, I realized today I would have been married 26 years if I stayed
okay,
married.
Okay, thank you. Now you got it.
And
okay,
I didn't realize it until like after until it later. It dawned on me. I said, "Hey, wait, this is November 9th."
And see, that's what I'm talking about when we get an anniversary mm-hmm. or something, then when we were married and now we're divorced, or these things make us a little melancholy and make
yeah.
us a little bit, you know, wondering if I had stayed married, would it have worked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would it have been better? I think you're beginning to see, in reality, it wouldn't have been better if you stayed with him, but you haven't
mm,
found anybody
know.
Now to take
yeah.
his place at this point.
Yeah, no.
Like, wouldn't
and,
you have thought by now you would have been in a relationship?
That's why I never changed my name back, because I figured, why? How many times? I thought I would find someone else, but you know, cool and busy with trying to stay afloat, and you know, so never happened. And then
right.
Captain Asshole came along, and then you saved me from that. From
that's when I first met
you.
How many was that about? 12 years ago, at least now.
I can't believe it.
It was about
like
that
yesterday.
Long, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was pining over a jerk, and you snapped me out of it in 5 minutes.
Well, and meanwhile, I told you to, it was already the beginning of like that decade ago or more, when it maybe 11 or 12
mm-hmm.
years ago, was when men started really being these jerks. You know, and
really? Oh, okay.
It was the first round of it because of it was like
yeah.
It was online dating. It was before dating apps. It was online dating, and
mm-hmm.
men were starting to be a little peculiar about commitment and strange. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think that you're just kind of it's time for you to have a relationship. And what I'm seeing in the cards is you could have one. Again, I'm not saying you're gonna have one with one of the old farts that are around you, but
okay,
you know,
you
if you don't get out of your like immediate area where you live, like
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe go where people that have more energy go to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and it can even be just a fundraiser somebody's having or a walk for health or I don't know, something
yeah.
that's a little more positive people, but I see you're
mm-hmm.
going to meet somebody. Now, you work mostly from the home now, right?
Yeah, I work a lot of hours, and today I couldn't really concentrate, and tomorrow there's going to be a repair person here. I'm going to be working like 12 hours, so that's another thing. You know, if I'm out somewhere, I feel like I'm missing emails. I have to get back. You know, and sure enough,
well,
when
do you
I get
have
back,
a smartphone that you can answer on your smartphone?
I don't like to be bothered when I'm driving or somewhere else. Like, you know, it's just that's not having fun. That's not. So I don't connect on my smartphone. I only, you know, connect from home.
Right.
You know, so but it's still a lot of hours, a lot of grading. I can't do that from my phone. I have to concentrate. So I'm not complaining. You know where I was a few years ago.
Right.
So
and
I'm not,
of course,
I'm not
but
complaining.
Okay, now. You know, on the hierarchy of human needs, once you've taken care of the food and shelter, which was a big problem
mm-hmm.
for you for a few years, you were worried about where you're going to
yeah.
live and how you're going to eat.
Right.
Now we
mm-hmm.
start aspiring for something more. So I think what
yeah.
you're experiencing is what you're supposed to be feeling.
Okay.
You know, it's
right.
like now I've gotten that fundamental stuff and I can at least go, okay, I know where I'm going to live. I have a shelter. Now you want something more. And how are you going to get that?
But I also don't think I'm supposed to live right here. It doesn't feel right. I'm not.
Right,
I have to live somewhere. I have to live somewhere. So I'm
okay. Well,
happy
maybe when you meet your soulmate, you know, soulmates
yeah.
change everything. Maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe some of your decisions would be made with that person too. You know, it's
okay.
like this is sort of like your transition place. It's a place where it's,
yeah.
it doesn't quite feel like home to you. That's what I'm getting from you.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't. It feels. I lived in an apartment complex when I first met you, and there was a sense, it was like a sense of community. I don't have that here. And
right.
So as far as being rude goes, after that accident, there was some old lady sitting on my car, and I asked her nicely to get off my car, and she wasn't listening. And the old guy said, "Get off her car," and she wasn't listening. And then she finally gets off my car, and she puts her groceries on my car. Which I, you know, even though it's old, I keep it nice.
Right.
And I said, "Please get your packages off my car." What? And I finally cursed her out. I'm so embarrassed.
Okay. Now, okay. Sometimes it's just like when you see that happening, when you can't be kind anymore, mm-hmm. maybe it's because there's nobody recharging your batteries, okay? And, you know, I found the times when I've lost it, like, you know, someone's cut me off in a car, and I don't usually care. I just like, okay, let them. But if I find myself cursing them out, I go, oh, I'm under a lot of stress, you know? So, you know, just kill them with kindness, I think, is the best thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, because people, you want them to feel bad. If you keep being nice to people and they're being assholes, they start feeling bad. They can't stand it. They want to get... First of all, she was a depressed woman, the woman with her bags on your car. First of all, it was a boundary issue. Don't put your bags on the car. But she wanted to get you mad because you can't be depressed and angry at the same time. So she wanted you to be angry. And I think maybe, you know, you gave into what she wanted. And also maybe you're a little depressed too. So maybe sometimes anger feels better than depression.
Yeah, I didn't start off nasty. I just couldn't take it anymore. You know, it's like going on for 10 minutes already. Get your crap off my car. I said, get your shit off my car.
Well, why was she putting it on there anyway?
Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah, of course. In this show, you can.
Okay.
We have it for PG-13. Okay, PG-13. Okay, that's why we have PG-13, okay? Because, you know, nobody curses more than Nicole and I. So, you know, in case it slips out of us. Although I do know if I'm in a place where I should not curse, I do not curse. When I was a children's entertainer for 25 years, 10,000 shows, I never cursed once, you know. But they actually say people who curse are more intelligent. Did you know that?
I saw that.
They actually use more words than less words, okay?
Okay.
So I just found the latest study funny, you know what I mean? Yeah. And also, you're of my generation, and women cursed in my generation because we had to live in a man's world, and we had to speak like men and be able to compete with men. And it was kind of a liberating language for our generation. So
it's appropriate sometimes. I don't trust people who never do. Absolutely never do.
I'll tell you, my father was the biggest son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. But I never heard him curse ever in my entire life. He was the nastiest, meanest person I ever met. and sometimes I think that's why I curse, because he never did. You know, sometimes we just do the opposite of what our parents did. But, like, when I think it's a great code system. If I say, oh, man, that person's really fucked up. You got it. I don't have to say a million other things. You got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's
just... place.
It has its place, so we're in agreement. But I'm glad you called in today, because what I see for your cards is you're giving a little signal out to the universe, I don't want to be alone anymore. I want a home, and I will tell you what I've got out of what you said is, yes, I have a place to live, but it doesn't yet feel like a home. What makes a home is love and warmth, and you're not feeling it there. So maybe you want to tell God, thank you for the house that I live in and the space that I live in, but I want to feel like I have a home.
Yeah, and this place is a gift. It is the fact that I have it.
Oh, yeah. And I know you're in gratitude, but now again, what would make it feel like, you know that song, a house is not a home, you know?
Yeah. I feel a little ungrateful being so unhappy.
No, I think you're grateful for what you have, and now you have time to think of what would even make your life better, and that would be a nice man to share it with, someone who comes and you can make meals for, he could cook for you, someone you could, you know, go for a walk with. These things make life a lot better. I don't think I could do this job if I didn't have TJ recharging my batteries.
Okay.
I mean, I think I would be drained. I think I would have, I would be out of my mind. I mean, you know, he's fun. We'll watch a show together. We'll go for a walk, even if it's midnight.
Yeah.
You know, things that just, you know, you get a hug, things that make you feel, you have a little bit of failure to thrive. When was the last time you got a hug?
Oh, forget. I don't know. Never. I don't know.
Now, you know the studies on failure to thrive with babies when they realize that.
I was married,
Okay, so we're going back 20-something years?
Yeah.
Okay, so picture, you know, when babies in orphanages, when they used to prop them up, give them a bottle and not hold them, even though they had food, they died. They realized that you had to hold them when you fed them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they had a failure to thrive. So I think need to put it out to God. I need someone that's going to hug me.
But I guess I think now I'm more interested, I guess, or yet I'm not, because it's been so long that I'm used to not being, you know, paired up. But before this straightened out, there was no way. I mean, I was struggling just to survive, and there was no way I was going, you know, to find anything like that.
Right, and but now, again, it is in the hierarchy of human mm-hmm. needs. You first have to have food,
yeah.
shelter taken care of before you can mm-hmm. think of love, education, art, you mm-hmm. know, anything higher.
Yeah. I remember
so when you said
Maslow's
existential,
hierarchy of needs, I remember that.
Right, remember that? So
yeah.
your existential is, yeah, okay, I've taken care mm-hmm. of my basic need, human needs. Now
mm-hmm.
my existential needs, my soul, my heart, my mind needs nurturing
yeah.
and feeding. So put that out to God. I need
okay.
some nurturing and feeding, some soulmate friends, some, you know, soulmate lover. Those
a
things
dog.
Will make all the difference in the world.
I really want a dog.
How about, well, get a dog is a good start for love.
Yeah.
So
but
are
I
you allowed to
have
them
here.
In your apartment?
No, I guess I can ask him. But I also have to make sure I'm stable, because you never know, because it's still a new situation. You know, what happened to me before, if I had what would have happened to my dog.
Right, but you also, they can't deprive you of having a dog if you can get it for medical reasons. And you might, because, you know, some of your medical issues, you could get a doctor to say that a dog would be very good for you, you know, that you need
yeah.
it for your medical issues.
Yeah,
so.
But I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to support it. And, you know, you never know.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
I'm sure you
and
will.
I'm not sure if I belong in Florida or back in New York.
Well, why don't you just put that out
thing.
To God and,
yeah.
you know, don't make any moves now, because at least you have a nice place to live. New York has not gotten any cheaper or better to find a place.
No,
to live.
I can't. There's no way. There's no way I'm going there on my own. But anyway, thank you so much for taking
You're
my
You're welcome,
call.
And I love you. And
like
I think
this.
I just wanted you
I
to call
you
and
too.
So I could say I love you, and I've loved you for all
oh,
these
I love
this
you
decade.
Too.
Okay, so
and
call
I'm going to be in touch
and,
with my...
And for your reading, and don't forget just to email me and let me know how you're doing, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
So,
love
and,
you.
I love you too. I love you. I love your show also. I never get a chance to listen to it. I keep meaning to, but now I'm on it, so I can listen to the rest of it because I'm always
okay.
working.
I know. Well, that's life,
yeah.
isn't it? We're always working.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. We're going to try to take another caller. So thanks for calling
okay.
in tonight.
So okay. Thanks, Cindy. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Nicole. You still there, my darling?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello,
of
my darling.
Course.
Now, aren't you glad that you
and
have your wife?
And actually, what you were talking
you
about?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Aren't you glad you have your wife to hug you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what we were talking
like
about, yes, you have a comment on it, my darling?
Oh, yes. No. What you were talking about is that if anybody is in need, you can get an animal and you can register that animal. And what it's called is an emotional support animal. And
oh.
with emotional support animals, it's an actual registry that you know, you would have to submit all of the animal's documentation, and you are not allowed to be discriminated against for having this animal. These animals can come inside of restaurants with you. These animals can be in planes with you. They can go anywhere that you can go. If they are actual registered, they literally have little IDs for these animals and little vests that these animals have to wear.
I was wondering why I saw someone on a plane with a dog when I
yes,
went to
and
Mexico.
That is why it was a registered support animal.
Interesting. So thank you for sharing that, because I think
you're welcome.
If people are lonely and if you're living alone, having a dog to love, you know, something they love. You know, dogs give you hugs. They cuddle with you. They're affectionate. So a dog, and if you've been afraid of commitment and love, I think committing to a dog is a good first step.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. So we're going to have, so our, like our little dog therapy today, you know?
Yes,
you know, that, interesting. And, you know, it's funny because when I do readings lately, the dogs that have crossed over keep coming through, and I'm like, isn't it funny? And it's very sad. One of my clients, a child, accidentally killed himself with a gun that was left. He was only four.
Oh.
That was left in the living room. And, you know, it was very, very tragic and very sad. And he came through to his grandma to say he's going to meet and greet her with a parade of dogs, which I didn't understand. And she said his favorite show was, I think it's Paw Patrol or something, the new show. And
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
He was a little boy that used to watch it with his great grandma. He used to watch it with his great grandma. So she knew that was him because, you know, his thing was dogs. So it was one of the saddest readings that I ever had to do, by the way, to talk to a little child like that. So
I couldn't,
you know,
even.
I meant to bring this on the air to just tell people, please, you know, if you have a gun in your house, you have to make sure it's locked. It's locked away. Please, 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 please. Children will find it, and it looks like a toy, and they will play with it. So please, please, please. And that isn't my first client whose child has died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound accidentally. It's probably the fourth or fifth. Most of them were older, 10 or 11, 12. This was only a four-year-old. So it's very sad.
Oh.
So please lock up those guns and keep them out of the hands of curious children.
Yes,
so we have Karen, and I thought that was Karen. And what is on Karen's mind today?
Oh, okay, Cindy. Karen just is a little bit confused right now. She's a little bit all over the board, and she needs some guidance. All right. So I'm going to leave it at that because Karen is always so good. You know, sometimes she'll have questions, and she'll be like, you know what? I call in all the time. Don't worry about it. Let somebody else go. Let somebody else go. But today Karen needs you. So we're going to put Karen on, and we're going to let
Karen
talk about Karen.
If she needs me, I'm here for her because, once again, I have my favorite clients here today, so I love it. Okay, so this is good.
All right. So here we go with Karen. Hello, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Cindy. How are you guys?
Hi, Karen. That does not sound like my Karen. There's something heavy in your voice.
It sounds
heavy in your voice, like not the lightness. You know, you always have like a smile in your voice. I'm not hearing that today.
Oh, you're so funny because I want to get this out before we start talking. Your theme for today, I so agree with you with kindness because it makes the day so much better. If you're kind or somebody else is kind, it goes faster. So it's so funny. I so agree with you guys.
And thank you, because let's just pass that around a little bit. And how do we pass it around? By being kind, okay? And
right.
By resisting when someone is not kind to you, it's usually a cry for help. They're sad. They're not happy. So you'd be surprised how, you know, what can I do to help you? You know, and people are really shocked when you say that. Is there something I can do to help you? Like, what's going on here?
And I love it. Like, people say, like, I'm too nice, but I just love being nice. I love being kind.
Me too. And it's just, it's easier. It comes more natural to me. I'm not proud of the times when I answer mean or I'm mean. And believe me, all humans have a mean streak. I'm sorry. It's in us.
Right.
And when it comes out, I'm not proud of it. And, you know, I said I've worked very hard to be kind and to, you know, in my life. And again, sometimes it is work. If you weren't raised in a household where there was a lot of kindness, for some people, it's not second nature to be kind. So sometimes you work at it. But after a while, it does become second nature. And it's just really nice. It's really nice to see a stranger just smile at you. You know what I mean? Just, it's really sweet. You've made somebody just smile there was a video on Facebook not too long ago where this little kid just really liked old people, like this 2-year-old really liked old people. And he always made his mother, like, you know, go over to old people so he could talk to them. And this guy looked really like, the mother was like upset because the guy looked really mean and stuff. And he got this guy to warm up. And after that, like, they ended up inviting this man for, you know, for Thanksgiving dinner and different things because his wife had just died and he was really sad. And he was this little 2-year-old that just made this 80-year-old man smile. And it was just really a great video. So now with you, what's on your mind that made us?
You know, I've been waiting for this soulmate and I've been so patient. But I just want to know if I'm in the right direction. I'm really looking forward to meeting somebody, and I haven't.
Okay, now, I don't ever like to talk in generalizations, but I will tell you this. There's a lot of really wonderful single women out there because the men are not committing. I mean, the Wall Street Journal wrote an article about it recently. The New York Post had written one. The New York Post said, you know, women are outsourcing from New York because men are not committing in New York. The Wall Street Journal said virtual women are a threat to real women because the men are masturbating too much and they don't need women. They don't leave the house, the men, anymore. It's also talking about things like Tinder and Bumble have made men not want to commit. They don't want relationships. They're not, you know, and it's sad. And there's a lot of single women. And it's, you know, the it's In any other time in history, you would not be single like this for this long. It would not have happened. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't a good man for you. I just think maybe people have to figure out ways to find them. And I think kindness might be our, like, our route to it. If you're kind wherever you go and smiling, you're more likely to just meet people about your life if you're not being closed off. So I wouldn't get sort of sad or jaded about it. I would just kind of get more open and be more receptive. I mean, are you on online dating? Are you doing any of that?
No, I boycott online dating. I hated it. I did it for a minute, and I hated it.
Okay, because older souls by nature don't like shopping for people, so I can understand. But that's where most people tend to think that's where they're going to meet. And with you, you know, you can't just have a soulmate come to you if you don't do something to find one.
Right.
So,
and that's what I'm calling from the direction. Am I in the right direction?
Okay, what are you doing as of now?
Well, I do a lot. I go to a lot of sports things with my son. We go to a lot of games, and we're always out. I
do
work a lot.
Do you talk to other people when you're out there?
I
do. Or do you only talk to your son?
No, I talk to other people, but they're all married, or they're all, you know, it's all their families. And not, I don't ever get the single vibe from anybody. And I'm trying, I'm hoping I'm giving it out, but I haven't met anybody that was even, I was remotely attracted to out.
Okay, now that, sometimes it takes a little time to bring a soulmate into alignment with people, and it's, you know, a good way to meet people is, you know, I don't understand why more single people don't sort of organize their own little, let's have a, you know, Friday night, you bring your single friends, and it doesn't have to be that they're bringing guys, they could bring some friend, you know, single, anybody, so that you can just meet some more people and maybe they'll have an event that you could go to.
Right.
It's got to be ways of meeting people, like face-to-face, that we don't need corporate America to do it, okay? But, you know, there are things like meetups. Have you tried any of those? Because sometimes the meetups are good. If it's you're interested in something, like, could be a meetup for, like, say, a fundraiser for breast cancer or something, you know, and they might have a walk for cancer. You can, those places you might, if you have to walk 5 miles, you'd be surprised how much you're going to talk to people walking five miles. So you might, what I always advise people is to make a plan, okay? And the plan is, you know, 2 times a month I'm going to do something outside of my comfort zone.
Right.
Maybe go somewhere alone where there's, you know, nobody I really know, but it's a lecture I want to go to, or sign up for something, take a dance class, do something that gets me out to meet people and force yourself to talk and communicate. I mean, I have people in kids, you know, women in college. They go to college. They go to, like, and they don't talk to anybody in their classes. Everybody sits with their phone. Mm-hmm. And they haven't met anybody. It's like, you know, November. They haven't met one person in college yet. And I'm like, you know, because they go to, like, community college. I'm like, well, why don't you just one day say, why don't we all put our phones down and let's, like, why don't we talk? I'm Cindy, and, you know, introduce yourself. Like, you know, get it going, a conversation. So I think with you, your dad promises he has a soulmate for you, okay? I mean, you know, for a while he couldn't bring it because your ex-husband would have been a real pain in the ass, okay?
Yeah.
So part of that slowed down why you would have been given a soulmate already. But he's definitely coming, and again, getting out there, meeting people. I hear this, like, lament of women all the time, but one time I was doing a lecture, and people were saying there's no way to meet people. And there was about 25 women in the class, and I said, okay, just, all right, that's it. We're out of here. We're going to go to 7-Eleven across the street. All of you, up and let's go. And I'm like, you want to know how you meet people? And within 7-Eleven, within 7 minutes in 7-Eleven, I had every person in that place talking to me. Okay, every person laughing, talking to me. I was just making jokes about the coffee, asking you, what can you help? And everybody was like, I can't believe you got all these people talking. And then the whole place was having fun. Everybody was having fun. I'm like, sometimes you just talk to people. You just get outside of your own comfort zone. And I know you have a great personality, so I'm sure you don't have trouble talking to people.
Right. I talk to a lot of people, yeah. I'm not shy.
No, and it's just, you know, get a conversation going. And, you know, talk to old people. They may have, you know, they may have a grandson or a son that's your age. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you're such a sweet person. I would like you to meet. So I would.
But I'm in the right direction then. So my
you're
God,
in the right direction. And notice that Jane called right before you too. This time of year, people start wanting love. I mean, you can't negate the holidays, make people lonely for connections.
It's true. I'm looking forward to meeting somebody and going out and having adult time. And so
yeah,
it is
adult
exciting.
Time. Adult time. Mm-hmm. And it's really important. And, you know, everybody seems to be getting a little bit jaded about love. You know what I mean? Because they've been hurt or this and that. I will tell you, the scam that works a lot on women who are divorced and didn't find someone for a few years, maybe they didn't want to, is when they do go on online dating, they're the new girl on the block, and the guy that connects is one that's a real scam artist. They're always like from other countries, and they say they're widowed, and they have no children, and their parents are dead, but I live in New York, and then they can't meet, and then all of a sudden after a month, I can't meet you because I have to go to London, I have to go somewhere else. And meanwhile, this person thinks they're in love with this person because this person's been so loving of a needy person, and then they find out this person's a total scam artist, and I'm like, well, don't think it's being all bad. It did show you that you missed a relationship and you wish you had one. And so it opened something, but you see how people take advantage of people that are like, when they give off this like needy vibe kind of thing.
Right.
And then they get jaded. Like, I'm not going to go out in the dating world and go, well, you know, you got to go anywhere in this world with your eyes open. There's no shortage of crazy scam artists, loser, lousy people on the earth. So you're a grown up. You know that. But there are good people, too. So, you know, I want you to just get yourself out there. I keep getting from your dad, it's going to be coming soon. And, you know, he doesn't want you alone forever also.
Right.
And, you know, I understand why you don't want to go online dating. It isn't always, you know, a great way to meet people. But a lot of people are on there. When they're online dating, they're often not looking for relationships. So you're looking for a relationship.
Right.
So, you know, even if you signed up for a course that you had to go to like 5 weeks or 6 weeks, something you want to learn, it doesn't be anything, pottery, cooking, anything.
Right.
You'll just, you know, they have like adult education programs and library things that are really cheap. And, you know, they have great programs and stuff to learn. And it just, you'll just, and they're in your neighborhood, and this way you can meet maybe some neighborhood people, and through meeting the neighborhood people, you could meet other people. And if people don't even know their neighbors, it's pitiful.
Right. No, I know.
Isn't it pitiful?
Yeah. You know? No, it's bad.
So don't get discouraged. It's coming. Again, a little bit had to be delayed because of your ex, because he had to make sure he was a sort of calmed down. And how has he been lately?
He's very calm now. I think he's in a new relationship. We haven't even been talking that much. It's been very quiet and calm.
Right. And, okay, very good.
Which, and I even offered for my son to see him for Christmas, because my son's been very busy with football every weekend, and he hasn't been able to go to see him. So I even offered him, like, my son wants to do something with his friends for New Year's. His mom, the family's going away for the night, and they want to take him. So I offered him, like, if he wants to go with his friends for New Year's, you know, he can go to you for Christmas. I don't mind skipping this year, and I'll do next Christmas with him. It's the first time we've had.
And then what are you
going to
do on Christmas?
I'll be with my family, my sister's kids, my mom. I'll be fine.
I'm okay
with it for 1 year. Yeah,
okay,
I'm fine. I've been having 14 years. I've never had any drama with this because we lived in the same neighborhood. So it's the first time, and there's only a couple more years left of this. But
okay,
I offered it because it's for my son. He'd rather be with his friend for New Year's. And I know that if my son's with me for Christmas, his father's going to want him the rest of the week. And I'd rather my son doesn't want that. And I'd rather him do something he wants to do.
Good.
So
we'll
see what happens.
You see your kindness and your diplomacy. See? Divorce without drama and trauma. I love it.
Yeah, it's so much better. My day is better. When we were fighting, I was sick. I didn't, you know, it was terrible.
Well, first of all, because older souls don't like being mean, and they don't like fighting with anybody. So even though people think they're okay about it, it's like with my husband now, you know, he's been sick for a few weeks because, you know, he's a family member that he's in the outs with. And then, you know, the person tried to come back into his life, but, you know, this person hurt him a lot. And then he said no, but it made him sick. For him not to, you know, be forgiving and kind to someone who really doesn't deserve it, perhaps, but still he got sick over it. You know, good people don't like fighting with people. They don't like being mean. They don't like, you know, it's not their nature. So
and I think we all want our own TJ, Cindy.
Oh,
we need more TJs in the world.
He's the best husband in the world. And I will tell you, he's kind and he's fun and he's patient. And, you know, he puts up a lot. I have a long work day here. This man is patient of a saint. People come in and out of our house all day long. He's great. But the bottom line is 1,000 times a day he says, I love you, you're the best wife, or whatever. I mean, people need to hear that. They want to be that you're a good person. So
yeah.
We want to get a man that has a lot of traits of TJ
yeah.
in it. And I think TJ's father brought us together, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, his father used to say to TJ, we're going to find a woman who will put up with your shit. The father used to say, and laughing, you know, so, and TJ really isn't a difficult person to live with at all. He's really a very good person. We've been together 9 years. That man has never raised his voice in 9 years and never said an unkind word. Me, I've raised my voice. Man has the patience of a saint. You know what he does? He looks at me and says, gives me a kiss. What can I do to help you? He knows I'm losing it at that moment, you know, so... sometimes when we just need somebody, when we're losing it, they stop us from losing it instead of the kind of person that eggs us on and brings out the worst in us.
Right.
Because it's easy. If you work hard and you're stressed out, so it's easy for somebody to bring out the worst in you at those moments. You know that. So
of course.
I promise
any other messages?
Your dad says, I heard what you want. I promise. Keep your eyes open during the holidays. Try to get out to maybe a holiday party or two.
Okay.
And keep us posted. And thanks. Thank you for calling in. I love you, and I'm always glad when you call in.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Okay, we have Christine. Okay, Nicole,
yes.
Explain
and
this one.
Yes, and we do have Christine, and this is your Christine from Long Island here, Cindy. So, you know, what's that?
Oh, I love Christine. I'm so glad she called in.
I know. Yes. Well, Christine has been going through a little bit of a difficult time. As I'm sure you know, her fiancé has passed, and everything has been kind of a mess. And, you know, she wants to know, you know, what are you really feeling, you know, about him, about this situation, about the messiness. You know, she needs a little bit of guidance and support from you. So let's talk to Christine. Hello, Christine. You are on the air.
Hi. How are you, Cindy?
Hi, Christine. Oh, I'm so glad you called in because you know what? You know what I love about you? In the middle of your sadness and everything, when I post something on Facebook or whatever that need help or assistance, you're always doing it. And I'm like,
yeah. In fact, I just made sure I put the vote in today. You get my vote every day, my dear.
Oh, and I haven't said it this year. Like, yes, I'm nominated for Best Psychic Long Island
yep.
Press. It's very easy to vote. Just go to Best
yep.
of Long Island Press. And thank you so much.
Your friend Christine votes for you every day.
Oh, and that, you know what? I'm a winner when I hear that. So it makes me
yeah.
so happy. Now
I agree. When people feel that way about you, that's a beautiful thing.
That's what I'm. And it's so. For the first card I got was that your soulmate, your fiance. The love of your life and the love of his life. The first card I got is the one that signifies he's trying to get you messages and signs, and he's trying to give you strength. He keeps trying to you know, look. In all honesty, the living have the harder part.
Yeah, I
agree. They still see us. They still see us. They're
right.
They don't have a body, so they don't have a lot of the pain that we go through and the angst. And
right.
So he's got the easier part.
Yeah,
and
he does. I mean, and I'll admit it. I'm not promising I'm not going to cry this time either because I do it every day. And when I start talking about it, it usually happens. So if I do, I'm sorry. But
it's okay to
what
cry. And but you know, he's sorry that you know. There's that song. If I had met you when I was younger, it's how he feels like. He wished he had a lot of years with you. But even
and
if he had 50
years. He would have told me.
Right. But if he had 50 years with you, he would not have had enough.
Oh,
and
that's the sweet thing.
And, you know, that's how he feels. Now, are you, you know, with some of the things surrounding his death, are you doing anything about it?
See, now here's the thing. I'm trying to, but. First off, you told me back earlier this year that he created a new will, that I was the executor and I was the sole beneficiary, and that it was done in Florida. Well, I went down to Florida. I don't know if you remember, but I told you when he was passing the last few days, and I started to know that he was because he was talking to the other side, and I just knew. A hurricane named after his ex-wife ripped through Florida. How sad and ironic is that? Irma. You just can't make this shit up.
That,
okay?
And Irma is like a weird friggin' name. How many Irmas you've ever known in your life?
Yes. So Irma ripped through Fort Myers, where he lived, right outside of Fort Myers, and everything was in devastation. And, of course, that's what stopped us from getting married because we couldn't get the divorce certificate because everything was closed. So because I'm legally not his wife, I really don't have any legal standing at this point. And he does have a brother who they hated each other. The brother is a criminal thief, and I won't even go into that. But basically, he had to sign off on me being able to cremate Pappy. Right? And it took 15 days because he is the next of kin. So he signed off on it, basically washed his hands of it, and said, I'm done. I washed my hands of this. And didn't even see him and just left.
Wow.
So now, because he's the next of kin, technically he has the rights, not me. And I'm finding that very difficult because as a life partner, I'm the one that lived with him. I'm the one that took care of him. We're the ones that took care of finances and everything together. So how does that, how does that not count for anything? That bothers me. But, of course, it's the law, and I can't change that. But
you said there was a will. What's with the will?
That's what I want to know. I mean, there's some things I'm starting to question, and I don't like feeling that because he and I always agreed that we'd always be completely honest with each other. All right? And I said to him, you lied to me once, and you're gone. Because I don't play like that. I tell the truth. I cut the shoot from the hip. And even if it hurts, I'd rather be hurt by the truth than be kissed by a lie any day. So, he swore he never did, but I can't find this will. I mean, I went to the lawyer's office, and the office manager said that he wouldn't even speak to me without further documentation, and I had the power of attorney. That wasn't good enough. I don't know what to do because, quite frankly, Cindy, there was wrongful death. The hospital that he passed away up here, I want to sue them for taking his dignity away and breaching his patient rights. Then he had pacemaker defibrillator that burned the inside of his chest, and Xarelto caused a blood clot, and he had a stroke. Like, there's people that should be paying for what he went through. And I can't do anything about it because I'm not the next of kin.
Right. And
so I'm starting to wonder, was he in his right mind when he said it?
About the will? He would not have lied about that. Okay, so, maybe the people have hidden the will, or is there another will they're pulling out, an older one?
Nobody's pulling out anything, but nobody's cooperating with me at all either.
And, of course, they're not going to. Of course, they're not going to. And, if there is no will, then it will go to the next of kin. So it's very easy for them to have destroyed a will.
Well, he wouldn't have gotten it because the brother's here in New York, and he was down in Florida all those years. And when he was in Florida is when he made the will. So he couldn't have gotten his hands on that.
Okay,
nor would he even know where to look for it because they hadn't spoken in several years.
All right. So are you trying to locate the will?
Yes.
Okay, because you got to ask him to help you figure out, what attorney he used.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, and he also had said that his brother was under investigation. Okay, and I believe that he was. Because I've known the family since I was 15, and my cousin was married to his brother, and I know his parents had more money than God, right? Basically, the brother stole everything. He was the executor, and he basically hid everything and gave the brothers nothing.
And what would make you think he wouldn't steal again?
Well, not that I don't think he would. I just don't think he has any idea where it is or where to look for it.
I wouldn't underestimate him so much.
Well, I don't underestimate him for anything, especially not his wife, because I think she's
the
brains of the
operation. I wouldn't underestimate them for anything. And, you lived with him for a while, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you look through all of his things in your home?
Yeah, I did. Yep, I went through everything.
And there's no will there? There's no...
No.
Excuse me, I'm just going to let my clients in who are early.
That's fine.
I always book the show for the people for 8:15. They come early.
That's fine.
Hello, I can't until 8 o'clock, so that's why I book at 8:15.
They come in, I have to finish my radio show.
How you doing?
All right, so...
And his brother was supposed to be under investigation by the FBI. Okay, and
right.
I went down to Florida, and I went down to speak to the agent. And a friend of mine was with me, and it was obvious to both of us that he was blatantly lying. He couldn't look me in the eyes. He was fidgeting. You know, and he said, even with the power of attorney, I can't discuss an ongoing investigation with you, and blah, blah, blah. It was just so obvious that he was lying. And I thought it was just me. And then
nobody is lying.
Yeah,
is
I know
lying.
He is.
So what I want you to do is call in at the beginning of next week so we can finish this a little bit because you know, Blog Talk is going to knock us off in about a minute. And do me a favor and ask him for help, your fiancé for help, to reveal some things to you and show some things to you. And call in the beginning of the show next week because we'll go over all of this because this is horrible.
I just want to make everything right for him. Everything
for
he's
you.
Trying to
and
do.
And for you because the dead don't rest in peace if money doesn't go where they want it to go. I'll tell you that
it's not
right
even,
now.
It's not even the matter of the money, Cindy. It's a matter of fixing
well, he
what
certainly doesn't
he
want
was
his
doing.
He certainly doesn't want his brother to have it, okay?
No, that's for sure. I mean, and the fact that there's things that he should have still been here. It was wrongful death, plain and simple. Still be here.
It was. So
and I legally have no standing without that will.
Right. Exactly. So we've got to get him to give you some signs and messages as to where that will is, or some hints as to where you can find it.
I mean, I'm hoping that just your input, maybe he'll come to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's what I'm going to try. I'm going to try to zoom in on it and then, you know,
and
call
no, him. I know we're going to get cut off, but I know you're going to love this. My son's father has told me that he's an angel since the day I met him. And he said that he gave me an angel. My son Jimmy's an angel. And I believe
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he has autism, and I believe he's perfect, pure, and he's everything. But Ron keeps telling me that he's here to help me. And if I would just listen... It'll be in God's time, not in my time, all right? But the will come up, and he said, I see you're going to have to go back to Florida again. And I keep telling him, yeah, whatever, you know. And maybe he is an angel. I don't know. I mean, they supposedly walk amongst us. I don't know. What's
right.
your opinion
well,
on that?
I think, has he demonstrated himself to be an angel, his behaviors?
He's got a really good heart. He always has.
Okay, but does he have a lot of flaws?
Everybody has flaws. I mean, he used to. I mean, he used to be a big drinker and he used to smoke. He doesn't do any of those things anymore.
Uh-huh. Just, well, I think he likes to think of himself as angels, but angels never walk the earth. Angels were never human. They're a spiritual army. They don't really, like, you know.
Well, maybe the messengers. I don't know.
Messenger. He might be a messenger, maybe.
Yeah, he mentioned that, a messenger.
Okay, well, you know, let's see what happens with that. But, you know, right now, you know, your main goal is to just focus and try to figure out where you can find that will. And then call in again, and we'll try to help you with that. I just don't want to get knocked off here, so I want to say good night to everybody, and thank you for joining us. Christine, call in next week, okay?
I will. I'll call earlier next week.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks,
okay.
Cindy.
Good night, everybody. Sleep well. Good night, Nicole. Thank
good
you
night,
for everything.
Cindy.
And we'll speak next week.
And thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.